Una parata rumorosa, oscura e allo stesso tempo allegra ha attraversato l'area che circonda i giardini alla 53esima Biennale d'Arte di Venezia. Danzatori, percussionisti, un architetto del suono, un chitarrista, un bassista e tanti figuranti si sono fatti guidare da Arthur Lindsay in Multinatural Blackout, un progetto multidisciplinare e multiforme, sfuggente alle definizioni. Multinatural Blackout è stata infatti allo stesso tempo un'esplorazione del format stesso di parata, ma anche una gigantesca performance, una citazione del carnevale, un'opera d'arte pubblica, un rito, una festa. Ad interrogarsi sui molteplici aspetti di Multinatural Blackout sono stati il curatore Andrea Lissoni, l'artista Carlos Casas e l'autore del progetto, Arthur Lindsay. Grazie alle loro voci è possibile seguire il filo sottile che unisce le varie parti della complessa macchina della parata, un filo che a tratti si perde tra le gambe dei danzatori o tra le ruote del carro mobile, ma che poi si ritrova dopo un po' tra le bacchette del percussionista o tra le corde della chitarra dello stesso Lindsay. Andiamo allora ad ascoltare il retro dei pensieri di Lissoni, Casas e Lindsay su Multinatural Blackout. Buon ascolto!
We need one take, no? Something like that.
Like the 2-minute discourse that you were speaking about, what it means, what Multinatural Blackout means.
Maybe you can say this thinking after.
It's easy to describe like the disappointments of all the different projects. No, but a Multinatural Blackout, let's talk about something else and let me get into with the rhythm of talking, not to give do you know what EPK is? Do you know what that is? EPK? Electronic Promotion Kit. That's from the late 80s and early 90s and all the with the big record companies, they discovered EPKs. It's not a music video. It's like where you sit and there's an interview and then they show a piece of your video and then they show a little bit of you live or something in a rehearsal.
But it's a kind of...
And they give it to all the...
MTV format?
No. It's like a little video with an interview with a couple of other little things. Maybe the camera follows you to a show, whatever. This very TV. And then they show it to all the sales representatives and...
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting genre. No, I'm just kidding. To explore. No, I mean, let's talk about something else. Ask me so that I don't go into that cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I don't know.
How you got to know the philosophy of Vivero de Castro, why you call him Multinatural?
Well, I got to know Eduardo Vivero de Castro through Hermano, because he was Hermano's thesis advisor, I think, or mentor, maybe not thesis advisor as much as teacher and mentor, and he, you know, then I like this crazy idea, which is impossible to understand, you know, his perspectivist idea about how the Indians he was studying see the world in a way that's almost opposite to the way Western people, so-called Western people, see it. And then he called it multinaturalism because that's kind of a joke about, you know, multiculturalism. And this idea that the Indians think that there are many worlds, you know, but one way of seeing, and the Western people feel that there is one world, but many ways of understanding it, many cultures. It's kind of a hard to digest idea, and I feel that it's probably a simplification of what he is saying, you know what I mean? But has this nice form of a paradox or something, you know what I mean? It makes you, huh? So, after thinking about Artaud, because of the story about the dance from Veneto that ended up in Mexico that Artaud saw, then I started to think about Indians, and I thought of Vivero de Castro.
le FOMO peut prendre figure d'hallucinée. Que voulez-vous dire, monsieur Artaud?
Je veux dire que je trouve un moyen d'en finir une fois pour toutes avec ce saint. Et que si personne ne croit plus en Dieu, tout le monde croit de plus en plus dans l'homme. Or, c'est l'homme qu'il faut maintenant se décider à émasculer. Comment cela? De quelque côté qu'on vous prenne, vous êtes fous, mais fous alliés.
How do you get to know the Artaud history?
That story, actually, maybe Silvère told me that story. Silvère Lautringer told me that story. I know that he went to Mexico because he was studying Artaud, and he went to Mexico, and he followed in Artaud's footsteps and went where Artaud went. And, you know, he saw a performance there, too, of some dance, where the men, which was supposedly this dance from Veneto, where the men wear these hats with mirrors on them and high heels, and they come in kind of walking slowly because they're wearing high heels, and all the women and children lie down and allow them to pass through. And it's not exactly what Artaud described, but pretty wild. But I think the mirrored hats and when I tried to look up the dance online, I can't remember the name right now of the dance. Most of the references were to the Indians, the Tarahumara Indians, and not to the dance in Veneto. And then when I finally found references to Veneto, it was very, very broad. It was like kind of like, you know, it wasn't a specific dance. It was like sort of like, you know, folk dancing from that region or whatever. You know, and I chose the title, like I said before, because I wanted a real big word and a, I wanted it to be kind of a traditional title instead of a phrase. At first I thought a phrase would be cool, but then everywhere I looked, people were doing these phrase titles and song lyric titles, and I thought it would be cool, you know? And I also liked the fact that the first parade I did was with Matthew, and to not run away from that influence, you know, that inevitable influence, you know? Like, people would expect me to try to do the opposite, and I thought that it would be kind of cool to do something that has some similarities, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, a lot of the times, I think that's very useful to define what you do in opposition to your peers or contemporaries or friends or whatever, you know, instead of finding inspiration in some older style, to just, you know, actually confront the people around you, you know?
Kind of deal with the, so to say, creational process. You store some interesting thing that you find, reading or speaking with somebody, and then they come back when you have to do a new process, a new project, like a play. Or I'm curious to understand how you invent the.
Well, I do store some things, you know.
You store something, yeah. So you have a kind of.
But archive. I don't have an archive, a notebook. I mean, when I write lyrics, sometimes I gather a lot of lines or steal lines or words or ideas, you know, from different places and write them all down and then make lyrics out of them, you know. Since I started making these parades, it's more like I have reacted to the need for an idea, you know. But I usually choose from ideas that I already have or things I'm interested in or whatever, you know. There's not really an organized archive, you know. I sometimes make them especially for a project. But
it's maybe something you are thinking in that moment, just to explain.
Yeah, or not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like I was interested in the multinaturalism thing before,
mm-hmm.
and then once I thought the parade would be about Artaud, I thought that would make it even more interesting, you know.
And how you put two people together? Because they are not, of course, not always the same people. How it works? It's just coincidence, life coincidence?
How do I put two people together, like Vivian de Castro and Artaud? No.
No, maybe more Melvin and Peter and Richard. And how it works? It's
well, I mean, Melvin, somebody I work with, I know what he can do and what he might possibly do, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Choose people to help me make what I can imagine, but also people that will have their own ideas, you know, and will give me more than I can think of myself. I mean, that seems like a very common way to put together a group, you know, and for this parade, I really wanted great music and great dancing, you know what I mean? And the music came out really great. I think the dancing was good. I'm not sure if it had enough of the kind of mood that I wanted. Now that I think about it, you know what I mean? I think that there was maybe a mood that could have been stronger, you know? Taking this movements directly from the Tarahumara, the way they were performed was maybe a little too festive, you know what I wanted? At the same time, I think that the deciding to make everything black didn't really make it, give it this kind of melancholy air. It made it like everybody was dressed in black somehow, you know. This is like my own criticisms of how the parade turned out, you know what I mean? I wasn't really prepared for the gothic, I didn't think it would be so gothic. I thought it would be a little more science fiction, a little more simple. But the fashion students really went for it, and that's what happens, I think, when you make a parade. You can't do everything, you know what I mean? And that's part of what's great about it, is to try to put different things together, you know what I mean? And use different people's ideas. And despite the fact that we didn't get the sound system that I wanted, I was happy with the music in the end, you know? And the sound. I think Peter especially did a really great job.
Something that surprised everybody. I had so many questions about that. It's the fact that you, in a way, destroyed sometimes the possibility of immersion of the public. It means you decided to stop sometime and speaking with somebody and saying, "Hey, hello, how are you? What are you doing?" And then back to the parade.
Mm.
So, and somebody asked me, it's the kind of Brechtian stuff, and he's doing, I mean, saying, stop, it's a parade. How it works? Because it
I think a parade is like that, because it allows you to do both, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
You could look at it as being Brechtian, or you could look at it as natural behavior in a parade. Because in a parade, you pretend you were somebody, or you lose control because you dance so long and so hard, you know what I mean? Or you get so into the rhythm, you know. But then you relax and, you know, walk to the side and drink something and come back and join. And that's part of it, is you go in and out of it, you know what I mean? There are different kinds of immersion. I like it when people dance, of course, but, you know, I want them to dance to the music. Do you know what I mean? And to relate to the music, you know what I mean? And not just kind of, so in a sense I want there to be some virtuosity. I want them to understand that they have to pay attention, that it's not just like a chance for them to act happy for no reason, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm trying to create these different reactions, but I'm trying to allow for these different reactions. You're going to have to cut out all these pauses, or it's going to sound like I'm talking Italian. But basically, I guess I have one idea of what is possible in a parade, and then I want to stretch my own idea. People expect some kind of Brazilian experience or carnival experience, you know, and so I have to deal with that, you know, and I kind of mixed up really good carnival music with noise, you know, and with this kind of unexpected visuals, you know what I mean? I mean, one way in which the parade was a failure was the weight and the complexity of the allegorical groups, the groups that were supposed to symbolize some elements of the story, you know, they were small and we just didn't resolve that really well, and not enough students wanted to join in the end, and we were so overwhelmed with the logistical part that none of us had time to go out. And so far that's been like a stylistic element of these parades, is that there's a kind of a professional part and an unprofessional part together. Some of it works really well and some of it is very homey and loose, you know what I mean? And I don't dislike that. I like Ilha, to use Salvador Carnival as an example. I like Ilha Ye, which is a big group of many, many, many people with best band, and now they can afford a good truck that amplifies the band and the singers, and now the percussion instruments are tuned really well so that the singers have a key to relate to, you know, and they can sing much more in tune, and a lot of people, you know, and a lot of beauty, you know, visual, you know, the mass of people is beautiful, the costumes all together, the colors are great, it's really incredible. And yet it's very slow and dignified, you know, and it's kind of grown up. But I also like these really poor little groups where sound is really shitty and people are singing completely out of tune, and you know, it's almost like a little family group with a few friends, you know, block association, you know. That can be really beautiful. I also enjoy the really big, slick commercial. You know, I'm not against that stuff, you know what I mean? But each style kind of makes different demands on the imagination, you know what I mean? But also these are art parades, so I want them to be, they don't have to be strange, but they should make you think, or they should give you something to think about if you feel like thinking, you know.
When you think about the end of the parade, just the last...
The one in Venice. I love that because, you know, everybody really wanted some kind of orgiastic experience, you know, and everybody wanted some kind of release, you know what I mean? And then once they get there, they aren't quite sure what to do, you know what I mean? And I really enjoyed, like, pushing and pushing and pushing, and a lot of silliness comes out and a lot of... But then people start to sweat, you know, and then it really becomes interesting, you know?
Because at the really beginning was a little bit against this idea of having arty people dancing, but maybe it was enough.
Yeah, I didn't want that to be the first thing, you mm-hmm. know, at all. So I wanted to kind of impose this mood and then open it up, okay, and then end wherever we ended. You know, it's one thing I should wanted to talk about today in the conversation here with the professore was about the audience, how the audience is so important, you know, like in theater and especially in music. And the audience really makes the show, and if they really are knowledgeable, you know, you have to surpass their expectations and all that kind of stuff, you know. And the Brazilian carnival audience, because everybody can dance, because everybody knows all these different elements, you know, from candomblé, and because social dancing is so articulate, you know what I mean? And it's on a high level. The difference between performing for an audience like that and performing for an audience where the people are just kind of going, you know what I mean, where they can't really dance, but that can't really dance is what I wanted to discourage at the beginning, you know what I mean? Then, of course, everybody can dance, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm interested in the way people expose themselves in these situations, you know what I mean? They do things, they kind of lose it a little bit, you know, and lose a little bit of control. That's great, you know, but I also, of course, I hate the kind of instant, hey, I'm out of control, you know, I hate the forced kind of, I don't know what to call it, you know what I mean, soccer hooligan, this forced, which is like all these people that, hey, it's a parade, they're going to have fun, you know, and everybody, you know, so everybody assumes that it's going to be a certain way and everybody immediately, you know, yeah, I'm more interested in embarrassment, actual sexuality, as opposed to kind of miming sexual moves, you know what I mean? Like some actual contact, as opposed to like just, hey, watch, you know, it's more complex or something, you know? In the end, I loved I loved that ending, you know, because it had all these elements, you know? And this kind of desperation, you know what I mean? I think that the actual moment of the end of the parade, the whole Biennale situation, the Italian political situation, you know what I mean? Our relationship as the people who made the parade to the Biennale, you know, was very difficult. Well, it was great with the curators, but difficult with the organization, you know, and in the end, trying to figure out a way to get back together. And the real situation, you know, kind of becomes, and that's what's great about Carnival, you know what I mean? How like sort of the most beautiful and the ugliest things get revealed at the same time, you know.
Una cosa interessantissima dà un'impressione così della forza della natura, starei quasi per dire. Mi dà questa impressione.
Non so, volevo domandarti a te se ti sa qualcosa. Perché non so cosa che rappresenta.
Can you sort of describe a little bit the parade? I mean, for somebody that didn't see it, how was it? I mean,
you know, I don't really know how many people in the end were in the parade. 75 or something like that. 75 to 100 people. And the first group of people were just kind of displaying the costumes, the most elaborate costumes. It was great that the fashion students tried really hard, you know what I mean? And individually the costumes were really impressive, but when you put them all together, inevitably there was a fair amount of deja vu, you know, because you had the goth reference, the science fiction thing, the fact that they were all black, and you can say Kawakubo, 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 but that doesn't necessarily mean people really have that much of an imagination. But I loved the very front of the parade, the woman with the two guys on either side and this kind of, I don't know how to put it, but innocent, narcissistic seriousness or something, you know what I mean? Was I like that. And then after that was one of the first sound cars, I think, followed them. And then the dancers, is that the correct order? I can't remember right now. And the dancing group, the dance group that we put together, Richard Siegel choreographed and Sebastian Muddy organized, and it involved 20 dancers worked together for 3 weeks or something, you know? And then a lot of people that got added on at the end. And unfortunately, I wish that there had been more hierarchy, you know? I wish that the people that got added on at the end, I felt that in a way diluted all the stuff and made it a little bit more like line dancing and stuff. And when you saw the people that had been doing it for 3 weeks, it was more interesting to watch. And then there were these guys that came in that I had always expected would be moving around the entire parade, dancing in a more articulate style. that's not the way it worked out. They kind of stuck with everybody else, and then they had their solo moment. You know, I was a little disappointed that they were all guys, that the women were kind of just always in a group, you know what I'm saying? Always the chorus, you know? These parades are special. You only have so much money, people only have so much time. The next group in the parade was one of the... I'm not going to try to remember the order of the groups, but the musicians were immediately after that. And, you know, so we had two small sound trucks at either end of the parade, roughly at the beginning and roughly at the end, and just speakers, small electronic cards pulling speakers. And in the middle we had a truck with the drums attached, the mixing board, Peter's computer, and the musicians were all grouped right around there. Immediately following them was my family group with my wife and her two sisters and my son's new friend, you know. And then behind them we had a group representing the psychiatrists, because Artaud went right into the asylum, and they had recordings of Artaud, which ended up being inaudible, you know, and didn't really work out. But that's one of the great things about these parades is that the description is almost as important as what happens, in a funny way. And what we tell people, what people hear about it, is really almost as important as what actually happens. Of course, it's all supposed to be bad experience, firsthand, you know, release, relief, paradis, you see the ugly, you see the beauty, da, da, da. But it's also true that it's word of mouth is really important. So to hear that there was a psychiatrist group, to hear that there was an anthropologist group, is interesting, even though the actual groups weren't that interesting. The idea to use Artaud's voice and amplify it, you know. We also had a group of snare drummers, which was definitely the funniest group. There were four snare drummers from the conservatory, boys, and they were like girls. I mean, they were like so shy and strange yet distant. They were hilarious, you know what I mean? And they were supposed to play these exercises, and they were supposed to represent like this complex order, you know, or not represent, they were supposed to perform this complex order, like the dancers, like the music, but a third element, you know what I mean? But they were timid and imprecise. They ended up being almost comedic element. And I think I might have forgotten one of the allegorical groups completely. Those were the anthropologists who were supposed to be carrying totem animals and following these totem animals, and they also were supposed to perform this odd ritual where they dressed one of their members in feathers as the parade proceeded. Another idea that sounds really good on paper. Then, of course, Carlos was, and probably still is, really disappointed that we didn't ever write the catchy samba that everybody in the whole parade would learn to sing. And we actually did write it, but we didn't write the lyric for the catchy part, and then in the end, we just kind of let it die, even though we distributed, I don't know how many thousand copies of the lyric all over Venice. Which reminds me, I need to get a hold of a box of those or something, because these different events that I've been doing now, they all want like a publication. I don't have a publication. Well, where's your monograph? I don't have a monograph, you know. But I'm thinking of sending these pamphlets, you know what I mean? They could sell them along with the CDs or something. That's a description. We also planned different events to take place in the course of the parade, and there's a tension you get from the circumstances and the plans, which is always really interesting. Like, the weather was miserable, it rained like crazy, the parade was an hour late, our audience was cut by at least 50%, maybe more, people couldn't take taxis on the Gran Canale. Even if they wanted to try to get there, you know, and then the people that were there left because they thought it wasn't going to happen, and, you know, people didn't come because they thought it wasn't going to happen. Da-da-da. So it was a little lonely there at the beginning, you know, and it wasn't really planned as a lonely parade, you know, because I figured there would be a lot of people there that it would be really crowded. And at least we have a few pictures where it does look really crowded. We planned various events, you know, but then it was threatening to rain, and even raining slightly at some points, and so I was trying to make the parade move a little faster than I originally wanted it to, you know what I mean? But I'd worked out these various places to stop and to do various performances, mostly with the dancers along the way. And of course they wanted to do everything they had rehearsed for, and then they worked for 3 weeks and hey, they were gonna do their stuff, you know what I mean? So I'm pushing and they're pulling, and there was a certain amount of that, you know. And then of course, because there were less people than we expected because of the weather, and there was so many people taking pictures, there was a certain amount of performing for the camera going on, you know, which is, that really is like Brazilian Carnival. What saved the whole parade was the ending, because in the end, the music just got more and more intense, and I think the music worked really well, because first we were marching along by the water, and the music was dispersed and blown away by the wind, and didn't have anything to reverberate off of, and then we turned down Via Garibaldi, and immediately the music sounded hotter and better because it was a contained space, you know, and it had more impact, you know, and it built. And then by the time we got to the end there and decided just to stay in front of the statue of Garibaldi, which was a sad decision because I loved that last wooded lane, you know, that we would have formed our perfect triangle, which also remained on paper. And, you know, people really wanted to party, and we worked them, you know what I mean? It was just like musicians working in the audience, you know what I'm saying?
Why a parade? Why you decided to make a parade in November?
Why did I decide to make parades, period? I don't know, I guess I got enthusiastic. Been working on parades for a while, then playing and also just working on the organizing, and then did the parade with Matthew, and I thought, wow, this is a great form, you know what I mean? I was kind of feeling restless with music concerts, you know what I mean? And I was thinking about working in theater, and I've worked with choreographers and dance companies, and I didn't feel like making my shows into a I didn't feel like making my shows more theatrical, you know. I felt more like it would be more interesting to work in a theater. Yeah, so I already had this desire to kind of do something else, and parades just seemed like a great thing, you know.
But would you say that your Brazilian experience, your time in Bahia and everything, would be the starting point?
Yeah, I would say that as far as making these parades, definitely my experience in Carnival in Bahia is the starting point. I mean, as a kid, I was involved in like national parades on national holidays and marching with my school and stuff like that. And oddly enough, after my dad retired, he helped organize parades in the little town where he lives in North Carolina. They do a July 4th parade, you know. So he loves that. He and my mom really like to be involved with the kind of activity, all sorts of different people. And, you know, like I said, parades are so simple because you can't say it's a natural form, but you can say it's an ancient form, you know, or whatever. It's like processions of all kinds, you know.
Television question. Are you thinking more in the future, in having more possibilities to do parade as pieces in Salvador? Or are you more interested in finding a way to raise money to do operates outside and far from Salvador. I mean, your intention is to concentrate more in Brazil and to cut up, or it's more experiment.
Well, I'm not sure how long I want to do these parades, but I'm interested in both. You know, I don't want to give up. I don't plan on giving up Carnival in Salvador, you know, but that doesn't mean that I always have to do a parade. I haven't done a real parade there since De La Malamina, even though I participate in the Cortejo Afro parades. They aren't really my parades. I'm just like, yes. I'm an organizer. I work on them. Sometimes I perform. But I am interested in doing these other parades, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because people come to me with expectations, you know what I mean? Like, actually, I met with a woman in Paris a few months ago who really wanted me to do a parade in Germany, and she saw the parade in Venice, and she hasn't been in touch since. I don't think she liked the parade at all. So not everybody likes these parades. They're not universally acclaimed, you know. I missed the Jeremy Deller parade in Manchester, you know. I was very curious, you know. But I'm not interested in sociological or whatever, this social outreach, or I'm interested more in fiction or you know, music and dancing and exhaustion. And I don't know, I have different interests, you know, that are not that different than the interest that I have in music. Kind of the same thing, different way of doing the same thing.
Question is because I was thinking really well to the structure again, to the Venetian one. Mm-hmm. Even thinking about what I saw yesterday, because when I just arrived yesterday, the dispositif remembered me exactly the end of the parade in Venice, in a way, no? How they was set, not the loudspeakers, the people around. Anyway, I feel you are, in a way, writing history, so to say. Yeah, it's more a fiction system than a parade. Of course it's a parade, but the creative process, not, I don't think about the viewer, it's even important, but the creative process is dealing with expectation, always building some elements of possible fiction, and always the expectation give different results. From what you are designing.
Right.
In a way, just speaking about the posters, it's a trace, it's a path, it's a possibility, nothing happens, or something different happens.
Right.
Dealing with the anthropologist and the psychologist, dealing with the expectation of the commissioner, dealing with the expectation of the dancers, even the musician. I mean, it's interesting in a way because you are not breaking or destroying something, you're not a punk. But you, in a way, it's a fiction. It's a, it's a system, no? Of different elements, and everybody goes through this element, we too, and then there are two doors. Everybody's thinking you go in this door, tack, it's another one. It's another way. The question of the parades was this. I mean, in my opinion, it looks more like a kind of fiction.
It's interesting because I'm interested in writing, you know what I mean? I'm also interested in philosophy or, you know, some kind of aesthetic inquiry or, you know, ways to speak about how we live or something, you know what I mean? And I'm not so fond of philosophical fictions or, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a dilution of fiction and of philosophy, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess I would hope to achieve something like hard fiction that also kind of embodies these philosophical questions or something, you know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like aspiring to be rigorous or something, you know, like when, after the Frankfurt Parade, I wanted to make something that was more well done, you know what I mean, and more of an edge to it, you know. So I definitely got the music part right, you know what I mean, and I got halfway there with the with the dance part, you know. But yeah, there's definitely a fictional element. And I think part, I mean, I guess a lot of the, when making these parades, I end up discovering a lot of different aspects of carnival, or remembering aspects of carnival, you know. I mean, carnival also has this thing about it's, you need novelty, you have to have a new song, you have to have a new costume, you know, you have to have a new artist, a new star every year, you know what I mean, to make it, you know, exciting. But at the same time, it's very nostalgic, and even when you start, you already think about it, it's only 3 days, so at the very beginning, you already think, oh, it's going to be over in 3 days, and you know, and so many of the Brazilian carnival songs about o carnaval que passou, like carnival that's finished, you know what I mean? And there's this nostalgia thing, it's this odd mixture of trendiness or, you know, nostalgia. It's a problem I face with everything I do, which is that people will say to me, well, I really had fun. You know what I mean? Like, as if I don't really take what you do very seriously, you know what I mean? You just bang on the guitar. But it's really fun. You know what I mean? And, of course, I wish I didn't get that reaction, you know what I mean? But, well, don't want to do anything if it's no fun. There's that aspect. But, you know, I feel that it's a difficult, I take myself seriously, you know what I mean? And I think there's more there, you know. But that's back to the problem of how you don't, of the progress of the parade, you know, like where you, I want to discourage a certain instant reaction and let the reaction be more real and build up over time. Like, I hate that instant reaction, you know. Because it's not honest. I mean, I don't mind an instant reaction if you hear something and immediately, wow, you know, but that's not the kind of reaction that I encounter so much. Yeah, this is like kind of off the subject, you know what I mean, but the way people always talk about, you know, Europe is dead, finished, you know, culturally, and New World, and Brazil, South America, you know, where it's happening, and I, of course I feel that way, and on one level. But, you know. What's wrong with the past? The past, that's a great thing about Europe, is that people take care of the past. It's a sad thing about Brazil, is that no one takes care of the past. You know, nothing lasts, everything rots. They just, no one. Museums aren't serious, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, to take an example, the TV shows, you know, the Caetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil TV shows, I think they were called Divino Maravilhoso, I can't remember right now what the name was, but the shows, but they're gone because people just used to take the videotape and reuse it. You know, that's it. So many things in Brazil, buildings and paintings and books, and just crumble. You know, so I feel the world needs to learn from Brazil, because Brazil has this thing that doesn't exist in other places, you know, this way of resolving these social contradictions without denying them, but you have to deal with the whole package, you know what I mean? You can't isolate the, you have to, just like the way I think, I hate the, I don't know how I got into this Europe versus South America thing, but the whole notion of saving the Amazon and da-da-da-da, and not really thinking about how all those people that make a living there are going to eat, you know, and this kind of idea that the jungle is virgin, untouched by humans. I mean, millions of people live in the jungle, and they've lived in there for, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years or whatever, at least. Anyway. This is probably useless to you.
But what would be the, 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 the parade, the reaction that you
back to the parade.
That you would want from the spectator.
Well, I would want them to feel the music, you know what I mean? It's more like something that should go on between the spectators and between the different spectators as opposed to between me and them, you know what I mean? That's something that they can only get in a parade or a social situation, you know what I mean? But I mean, I'd like for them to be able to go back and forth between that situation and a more thoughtful situation. I love the idea of people sitting there and trying to analyze the parade, you know what I mean? Like, I love the idea of this kind of like audience of art critics going, now what does that mean? You know, because in a way the parade is a very simple way of depicting thinking, you know what I mean? Visualizing thinking. It's really simple. Like, hey, there's the Indians. How do you know they're the Indians? Well, they're all carrying bows and arrows or whatever, you know. Hey, there's the cowboys. Oh, I guess so. You know, they got the hats and the guns. So to move beyond that too is interesting, to try to have a parade format where things change during the course of the parade, or the group in Frankfurt where the people are trying to have a serious discussion, you know, and things like that. You know, you run up against the limits of allegory pretty quickly, you know. So it's kind of a difficult problem to try to actually include that kind of stuff that makes you think, you know. So partly that's in how I manage the whole experience, and partly it's by these groups that deliberately try to embody meaning in some way, you know.
How do you think your sort of musical research has been since you started as a musician till now? How do you envision, and where do you think that this will lead you?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like, because I can't write music, and I can only kind of either record it and collage it, or organize it through other people. You know what I mean? I've tried to use these limits to make the areas that I can control more intense. But I guess I mix these two. One is kind of arm's length composing, you know what I mean? Which can be enticing or irritating to the other musicians I work with, you know? Usually the ones I don't work with think it's kind of genius, you know, to work that way. The ones I do work with think it's kind of lazy. But then the performing, which is something that's slow and cumulative, where you learn how to do things and you perfect them, you know, mixed with the kind of working in a way where the performance sort of performs you, as opposed to the other way around, you know what I mean? Where you just get up there and you're unprepared, but you still try to meet the demands of the performance or something. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing here, just giving you these things I've thought about music, but I mean, do I have any idea where that's going? Not particularly. I mean, I guess in a way I'm trying to spread it out by working with these parades, maybe so I can get back into it in a more fresher feeling or something, you know. But I'm interested also in these installations, you know what I mean? What works in an installation, you know, whether this more phenomenological approach where you try to get people to so concentrate on the act of perception as much as on what they're perceiving, you know, which is something that I always admired and kind of used in pop context, you know, in the past, or the possibility of narrative installations, you know what I mean, and how much sense they make, you know what I mean, and what are you going to do with your hands, so to speak, while you stand there and listen to an oral narrative, you know what I mean? And how much sound is a material that people can imagine as a sculptural material, that many people can think that way and have thought that way and whatever for a long time now. And how much is sculpture, how much is sound, and you know, how much is music, and I don't know, but I mean, none of this stuff I don't really have articulate answers for any of this stuff. It's more like I make these things, different attempts to work it out.
How do you define the music?
How do I define the music? Well, usually what I tell cab drivers is, I call it irritating music. Like, oh, what do? You know, I'm a musician. Oh, what kind of music do you play? Irritating music. Oh, really? What's that? Astringent. But that's not completely true, of course.
Normal, natural for you to switch from 3, 4, 5 minutes song, so to say, to 1 10, 15 minutes song one? Because the shape, I mean the form is different in a way.
Yeah, it wasn't. When I started playing music, I was really interested in compressing form, and as a listener, I was always interested in longer forms, you know. Yeah, it was kind of natural, you know what I mean? Also, when you play outside during carnival, you play with people's expectations, but you're not out there to destroy their expectations, you know what I mean? And like, it's not an act of aggression, at least when I do it.
Probably because of your improvisation attitude, it's more easier to stretch.
Right, but also dance music is, in music, groove music, you know, rhythmic music.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, you can just go and go, and it's about tiny variations inside and apparently repeating.
Going back to the parade form, to me it looks like you are exploiting the form. And I find something, I maybe understand why you are so close to Dominique Gonzalez Flores. It's probably because of the same feeling on playing with
filmic.
Yes, with possibility of fictions, so to say, no? In front of really simple things.
It's interesting because it seems like Dominique and I we draw from similar sources a lot of the time, you know, different writers and reading, but the same, it's more like what I might make and what she might make have more to say to each other than what I have made and what she has made. I don't think she's particularly interested in my past music, some of it maybe, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not that interested in most of her past work, the way she's, you know what I mean, it's more, it's just an interesting thing.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's interesting because it's the reason why I don't think it's for you a definitive form, the parade, and you are at the end not so really interested in the parade, but more in the expectation. The parade is related to an epic, in a way, no?
Right.
3-day epic, so to say, as I understood and as you told us, when you are always gambling, giving some fake traces, or being involved in it.